Thank you. All of us are no doubt aware of the phrase, let go and let God. It is a little phrase, but until you change it from an idea to an action, you cannot know just how great it is. It's easy to give lip service to the idea of letting God manage our affairs, but it requires a conscious decision to let go and let God really take over in every area of our lives. And perhaps we are slow to make the decision to let go and let God because we do not realize that it is a decision, the mental effects of which are so tangible and so startling to seem almost physical. Actually, it is the focal point toward which all of our prayers lead. It is the doing after the hearing. It is not simply a matter of saying to ourselves, well, maybe God can handle this better than I can. If he has any good ideas on the matter, I'll be glad to consider him. It's a matter of coming to a momentous conclusion and a magnificent decision. Sometimes we make this decision after deep thought and much prayer. But more often, we first learn to let go and let God all of a sudden in a moment of crisis. Very few of us will deny that we are, by and large, set in our ways of thinking, and we are slow to be moved. And therefore, it is not strange that we frequently become acquainted with God only in time of trouble. Any moment that we can open our eyes to the truth is a good moment. God does not bring about sorrow. He does not bring about distress, pain, or worry. But he does make use of whatever moments we will give him. And often the moments of distress are the only ones that we are willing to let him have. We turn to God in sorrow, in pain, or distress, not because God uses these devices to push us, because he doesn't, but because the helping hand of God is more quickly apparent when human or material resources are not available to us or too weak to help us at all. Why do we sometimes fail to demonstrate health or prosperity and harmony when we know the prayers to pray, the thoughts to think, and the words to say? Because it is so much easier to talk about truth than it is to actually live it. Easier, that is, until we once step beyond the talking into the living. It is then that we find that using truth and getting results comes naturally, and we marvel that we waited so long to begin. Many of us can trace our maturing in truth to some specific instance when we learn the meaning of letting go and letting God take over. Now, many, many years ago, shortly after I had been exposed to truth teachings for the first time, I found myself faced with some real trouble. I had to cope with what I believed was a very serious crisis in my life. I knew, or thought I knew, how to pray. But I had always regarded prayer as a kind of auxiliary power, just a little added boost that made my own efforts more effective. Now, as I was in such trouble that my own meager efforts meant nothing, there was nothing whatsoever I could do, and there was no way out that I could see through anything that I might do on my own. I could not pray for God's help in taking some action of my own, because I knew of no action that I could possibly take. I had to relinquish control, and I had to let God take over. I had no other choice. That I finally prayed aright is no credit to me. I simply prayed in the only way left to pray, and of course, that was the right way. All I did was consciously admit my inadequacy and say, God, it's up to you. Immediately, he did take over, and the very moment of his taking over is as indelibly etched in my mind today as though it had been a physical healing of some horrible and painful disease. God left no room in my mind for doubt, for worry, or for fear. He filled me completely with peace and assurance. I no longer worried because there was no longer anything to worry about. I knew that I had prayed the perfect prayer, and his answer was all-encompassing. The solution to the problem that confronted me didn't come right away. In fact, the problem and all of its related issues was not resolved for several years. But never again did I have the slightest worry about its solution, nor my ability to come with it and get through it with God's power. Believe me when I say that I have known worry, I have known doubt, and I have known fear in the years since. I have yet to achieve perfect faith and trust, and I frequently have to learn some lessons over again. But I have never forgotten, and I never will forget the basic lesson. That one single experience touched me so deeply that I could never fail to know what to do, even though I am sometimes slow and remiss in doing it. Perhaps you can relate to a similar experience in your own life. If so, you will not misunderstand what I say, that it is an essential part of praying is finishing your prayer and letting God take over. The ideal prayer, of course, is the prayer that asks for no specific things or no accomplishment, but leaves all in the hands of God. Often we learn this truth as a result of experiencing the thrilling lift of his taking over in some crisis. When we pray for the accomplishment of specific results, we have to ask from our own individual viewpoint, and that is always less wise than letting God handle our affairs from his superior point of view. Even the best results to our eyes may not be, in fact they seldom are, as good for us as what God in his infinite wisdom has planned for us. Our prayers are effective only when we pray with faith, and perfect faith is faith that God will give us only his best. And that is why the simplest prayer we can pray is the best prayer, as we so often find out in our moments of crisis. Harmonizing our thought with God's thoughts is the beginning of prayer, and it is also the end of prayer. But sometimes we pray for many months and many years before we learn this. Oh, how in our ignorance we have mistaken and misunderstood God, wrote H. Emily Cady, in consequence of which we are today pygmies when he wanted to make us giants in love and health and power by manifesting more of himself through us. We would not let him because we were afraid to say, have thy way in me, manifest thyself through me as thy will. On the ceiling above the wrestling mats in the athletic department at a certain university gymnasium is a sign that reads, when you read this, you are in trouble. Sometimes we ignore trouble until it has us flat on our back. Disaster is seldom sudden, although it seems to be. Trouble usually telegraphs its punches well in advance. Our small troubles, coming as a natural result of our small deviations in truth, should be recognized as gentle warnings and helpful reminders that our life needs to be put in order. But we often consider these smaller troubles as more vexations or petty irritations that we can overcome by ourselves without consulting God about them. Reasoning alone along these lines will continue in error until eventually we find ourselves in real serious trouble. When a person is flat on their back, they can only look in one direction, upward. This is the only direction their vision can take. But to carry the analogy a little bit further, a person who is able to stand on their own two feet may also look upward if he wants to do so. That person is not compelled to look upward. They can also look from side to side or downward, contemplating their problems and all the material ways to solve them. But it is when they look upward to the higher intelligence within them that the perfect solution to every problem becomes plainly visible. Those who experience deeply and surely the assuring joy of answered prayer know that the best time to go to God in prayer is at the outset of troubled situation and not at the time of great crisis. If we can form the habit of looking to God at all times, we shall have the answer to our problem even before the problem confronts us. God's help should be our first and not our last resort. Resorting to God first is a matter of our state of mind as well as time. Sometimes we ask God for something with a kind of defiant attitude, expecting but willing to try anything. We more or less dare him to answer our prayer. And this kind of prayer is not the sure prayer of faith. If we have ever actually let go and let God in a time of trouble, we are fervent in our testimony to the effectiveness of this practice. But to let go and let God is a sometimes difficult thing to do. It is only human for us to have concern for those that we love or desire the happy outcome to a cherished project. The truth of the matter is that when we re-release a loved one or a specific problem to God's will, we are not merely praying in a sensible way. We are truly praying in the right way. If we try to dictate to God precisely how our prayers for another shall be answered, we are forgetting that he gave each and every single one of us free will, and that making our own way to our own highest good is each individual's divine privilege. Why should we pray that a certain need be met in a certain way? The truth is that we do not even know all of our needs, much less all of the wonderful ways in which God is prepared to meet them. We cannot ask God in detail for our complete good because we do not yet know what all the details are. Only God can fill them and make the picture complete. In the knowledge that God is supplying all of our needs according to his omniscience, we can relax in the truest sense of the word. God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, promised, "Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Since our needs are known to God and already filled in divine mind, the value of prayer to us lies in the fact that it aligns our mortal, materially focused intelligence with the infinite intelligence of God. And so the things that we need are manifested in the material world. This manifestation requires faith, active faith. And faith is like physical strength and that it increases with exercise. More than 40 years ago, a woman wrote to Myrtle Fillmore, telling her of a hesitant desire to go to California to make home with her friends. And this is part of Mrs. Fillmore's response to the woman. She said, "Begin at once to get ready to do the thing that you desire to do and feel is best. Exercise your faith and do your part to bring about the good that you are asking for. You see, your faith must lie right hold of the thing that you ask for and expect." After we have prayed that God's will may be made manifest in some particular matter, we should not put the matter out of our mind. Rather, we should put the situation wrapped neatly in God's care to one side of our mind. And when we have the occasion to think about it, to exercise our faith, we can regard the situation cheerfully and lovingly, knowing that God is in charge of it, and we can bring it to the foreground of our consciousness without fear or uncertainty. Having let go of responsibility for it, we let God adjust it to divine order. And then if he shows us we are to do something further concerning it, we can be sure that our action will be divinely guided. Whatever your prayer, whatever your need, do not be afraid to finish your prayer and let God take over. Talking to God is good, yet there comes a point at which you must stop talking, stop reasoning, stop planning, and simply give up to God. You have available for your use whatever portion of God's power you are willing to use. You cannot make his power the sole force in your life until you stop your own striving, your own stressing, and your own straining. Now, this does not mean that there is nothing for you to do, that God will solve your problems in some supernatural way without your help. Your help is wanted. You will have a part to play. But God cannot reveal the appropriate effective action for you to take until you make yourself completely receptive to him. First, let him take over, and then he will show you how to do your part. Must we wait until a crisis comes before we make the magnificent decision? Of course we don't. We never have to wait. We cannot make that decision too soon. And the blessed sense of change and the sense of uplift within is as tangible and as thrilling when we return to him in a moment of happiness as it is when we make a decision in a crisis. God's way is obviously an improvement over sorrow, pain, and despair. And it is also definitely better and more satisfying than any material happiness or any worldly success that we would know. Any time is the right time to turn our affairs over to him. Any time we make the decision, he is right there, ready and waiting to take over. Make the great decision. Take the mighty step. Pray earnestly the perfect prayer, "Thy will be done in me." Say to God, "Father, it is up to you. From this moment on, you have full charge. You know all the answers. You know the perfect way ahead. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do in spite of seeming handicaps or obstacles. I am freely, gladly giving up my own notions, my own whims, my desires, with full confidence that your plan for my life is going to fulfill all of my needs, all of my desires, in a perfect way. You take over." Now, you don't have to use those words. You can use your words, or you can use no words. This is a decision that you make with your heart, not with your tongue. It is a magnificent decision. It is the finest decision that you will ever make, and it is a decision that you will never regret. You will only regret that you did not make it sooner, for it is the key to all of God's good. It is the instrument by which God makes us giants in love and health and power. And best of all, it requires no special preparation, no complicated course of study, no years of waiting. The decision is yours to make this very instant. Will you make it? Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Put your feet on the floor flat and rest your hands comfortably in your lap or at your sides. And close your eyes and just relax for a moment. Relax and be still. Be still and quiet your mind and let go. Let go of everything that is not in this peaceful and holy place and that is not of God's goodness. Let go of worrisome thoughts. Let go of the plans that you have made or that you think you need to make. And let go of any anger or any resentment or any ill feelings that you may be harboring. And just be still. Be still and quiet. And go within to the center of your being, where Father our God waits and welcomes you with open arms and unconditional love. Because the Lord God is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. My Father gives me rest in the meadow grass, and he leads me beside the quiet streams. When I am walking in the dark shadows of life, he gives me light and peace. I am not afraid, for he is close beside me, guarding me, guiding me in all my ways. He provides for my every need in the way of food to eat, clothes to wear, and shelter from the elements. He has given me all that he is and all that he has, and his goodness and unfailing love and kindness are with me forever and always. Because this is so, I have no need to control the things of the world. I have no need to hold on to anything that is not of God and his goodness. Today I make the decision to let go and let God take charge of the affairs and my life. Today I say, Father, let your will be done in me and through me. I am your humble servant. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you, and he lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, unconditional, and everlasting love, all that he is and all that he has forever. Amen.